League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. We roll on again. The Houston Dynamo, Columbus Crew, Wednesday night. Nine games to go in Major League Soccer. Dynamo trying to get back to the playoffs. It's the fourth of five games in 14 days. Their first three games, they've won all three of them, including two over Real Salt Lake and the Dynamo also September 27th in the Open Cup final against, won Leo Messi and Inter Miami. We have seen him back in the fold as of late. He is Dynamo outside back Brad Smith. He joins us now. Brad, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us.
Well, before we get into some of the other things going on currently with the Dynamo, I do want to take you back to your time at Liverpool and such an illustrious club because, we have a huge Liverpool supporters group here in Houston and around the U.S. Just maybe take us into a little bit of your time there.
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Australia. I'm a son for Liverpool at 14 years old. In the academy system, my parents just took a chance on me and, moved from Australia, sold the house and job and went over there to try and follow my career and started at 14 and basically went year by year, kept going up and, going through the youth system there. It was a great youth system. And then slowly stepping through the under 18s to the reserves and then to the first team and broke through for a couple seasons, which was, an amazing thing to do, not only play for Liverpool, but just to be a part of such a big club and, play in the best league in the world and get some great experience out there. And it was a really proud thing for me and my family. And, just to experience that was massive.
Did your parents accompany you at 14 over to England or did you go on your own?
Yeah, they came with me. They sold everything, came over, and my brother came with me as well. So it was a big, big step for all three of them. And, I'm forever grateful for them for believing in me and doing that.
What a fantastic story. 2013, you debut against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. Take me back to your feeling when you ran on the field at Stamford Bridge. Quite a team to make a debut against Chelsea.
Yeah, it was an interesting game. Usually you get thrown in a cup game and when you're in a team like that to just kind of build you up. Or, if you're winning a game comfortably, you usually get thrown in and get a debut there. But to get it 2-1 down at Stamford Bridge, to come in at left wing, I think I was 19 years old at the time, was, it was an amazing thing. But honestly, it was crazy. Just coming into that level of football at that age and that time of the game at Chelsea away. So it was, it was the greatest moment of my career to make my debut for Liverpool. But it was definitely tough and it was eye-opening to real football there.
How about the lore of Liverpool? I mean, the pictures, the history, Dalglish, going all the way, Fagan, going all the way back to all these names and everything. As a young kid, I'm assuming at 14, you get inundated with that right away when you're there.
Yeah, the club is so historical and it's one of the best clubs I'd say to play for. With the fan base is absolutely incredible. They got fans all around the world and they were great with me even going through the academy system and stuff. They'd see you on the street, they'd recognize you at that level. So then when you go and play with the first team, it's crazy. They live and breathe football out there. So yeah, it's a great historical club and it was amazing to be a part of.
He's Brad Smith. He's represented Australia as well. We'll get into that. Debuted at Liverpool in 2013 as a teenager. Then he went to Swindon, Bournemouth. It seemed to really come together, though, if I'm correct here, and you correct me if I'm wrong, but 2016 to 2020, I mean, all I envision is you rampaging up and down the left side for one of the most successful teams in the history of MLS, the Seattle Sounders.
Yeah, you know, it's very difficult, like I said before, to make it over there. And there's a lot of, you know, players coming and going and stuff like that. So I transferred to Bournemouth, you know, a step away from Liverpool and still in the Premier League, and didn't probably go as well as I'd wanted to and didn't really get the chances. You know, I played a little bit here and there, but didn't kind of break in and get the starting role or anything. So then went on loan a couple of times and came out to America not knowing, you know, what it would be like or anything. And I fell in love with it. You know, we were really successful. We won the league. So I went back on loan to Cardiff, back in England. And then I decided that, you know, I loved America and I wanted to come back out and stay in America. So I signed out here permanently and, you know, it's been successful. So far we were great at Seattle. We won the MLS Cup. So yeah, happy to be back in America.
You know, I look at people's careers and I even think about my own, right? I mean, timing, being in the right place at the right time, getting an opportunity when you think you deserve it, or being ready for that opportunity. That's no different in football, right? I mean, you got to get a break too.
Yeah, I think, you know, I'd tell any youngster or anyone coming through, you know, I'm 29 now, I've kind of experienced a lot of things. So I would tell anyone coming through that, you know, you need to be patient and not get your head down and stuff like that, because football is about timing. You never know when you're going to get your chance, and good or bad, it's a lot of it is up to timing, and you got to be ready and you got to work hard and stay ready. And, you know, you never know when it's going to come.
So you knew I was going to ask you about this at some point, because an ACL injury is a very serious thing for any athlete. I've had knee problems myself. So let's talk about your knee. Where is it now? Is it in a place where you're fully confident with it, mentally and physically?
Yeah. Yeah. Good question. You know, I've had this injury when I was 18, 19. So I've had it a long time ago, you know, and then I'd done it last year again. And when you're a bit older, it's a bit harder to come back from as quick. But I think now I'm in a good place. I'm starting to get my form back and stuff like that. I think when, you know, I got kind of not rushed back, but I wanted to come back quickly and so did the team. So I think coming back into it, I really wasn't myself to start with. But now I can say I'm really confident in it. It's feeling good and I'm not really having those niggly problems after games and training anymore. So I'm starting to feel like more like myself and I'm getting confidence back, because it's a long time out. Anyone who's had knee problems, it's a long time away from the game and it's a very lonely place. So coming back and get some confidence, I think you can see from my performance in the last few games, I'm starting to feel more like myself out there.
You know, I always hear, you know, injuries are a lonely place. I'm glad you brought that up, because I do ask this question a lot to people coming back. It's such a mental thing. And I, my experience with it is I always felt like I was still a bit of an outsider, because you don't fully feel a part of the team, no matter all the nice things everybody says, unless you're out there playing and contributing. Maybe you don't feel a full Monty when it comes to being a part of the team. Is that a fair thing to say?
Yeah, 100%. Like exactly like you said, you don't feel a part of it, even though you grind every day. But what I would say is that if someone ever goes through this, you know, it's their first time, I'd say speak to someone who's been through it previously, because, you know, the guys who have done their ACL would be happy, and especially they're happy to speak to anyone who, you know, wants to go through it, because it's probably the longest injury you can be out with. It's the most daunting one that people don't want to have and stuff like that. So I think, yeah, you should speak to someone and get a bit of insight to it, as it's a long process and it is lonely. But yeah, you definitely don't feel a part of the team as much as you try, and they involve you and, you know, they try and bring you in and all the stuff. It's just not the same until you're back out there.
He's Brad Smith. He's represented Australia 23 times as well. Professional debut was with Liverpool. I mean, amazing stuff here. You know, before coming to MLS, did anybody ever suggest playing in the A-League in Australia, and maybe your thoughts on that league?
You know what? I never, because I left at 14, I wasn't in the right system to go through to the A-League at that point. So, you know, going abroad and doing that was better for me, and it worked out. And I've had like options to go back to the A-League in between, you know, contracts and stuff like that. But I don't think it's right for me to go there yet. You know, MLS is a great league and it's only growing, and I want to stay here and and grow with the league, because as you see, like Lionel Messi and stuff that are coming out here, it's a massive league now. It's only growing bigger and bigger, and I want to be a part of this league for as long as I can.
Brad Smith joining us, Houston Dynamo defender. Remember, it's the Columbus Crew on Wednesday night. You'll hear it right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll start the pregame show a half hour before. All right, Brad, you come off the bench against Portland. I see it's like a bolt of lightning. I see this streaking guy, and I see Steve Clark hit this ball on a dime, and it's a driven ball. You take it perfectly off your chest and then sail it into the upper corner. That's the word I used. Just take us through that goal, because that I mean, I almost fell out of my chair.
Yeah, it's not super common for me to be up there, but you know, the way that the team wants us to play and wants me to play is, you know, up higher. And I think the way Amin was in the pocket at the time, he was drawing the striker to him, and then, or maybe it was Corey, or both of them. And then I just saw a gap, and me and Steve basically, like, we're good friends, and we made eye contact together, and he kind of just hit it, and it was absolutely perfect. And, you know, the rest was amazing, and it's cool to be a part of it. And, you know, that moment there is massive for me personally, just to get a bit of confidence and feeling back. And, you know, the guys were so happy for me. Really nice to see, you know, coming off a long ACL injury and do something like that. It was really special for me.
Now, you elected to shoot kind of early. I mean, you could have continued on with that. You must have saw something.
Yeah, I saw the keeper coming a bit. Also, the guy behind me, I was worried about if I try and get it back on my left foot, which is my strong foot, he might be able to get a touch on either me. You know, the game, it's 4-0. The game, he could easily just, you know, take a red card and wouldn't get the opportunity. And it was bouncing up, and I just thought, just try and not smash it as hard as I can, but just try and caress it, you know, on that side of the goal. And it was perfect.
Well, it was a thing of beauty. And by the way, I'll say that I'll put this out to my listeners too. Why can't this goal be up for goal of the year? I mean, why not? Right?
Why not?
Yeah. I mean, why not? I mean, it's spectacular. I mean, it was an eye-popping moment, and it's not one you often see. The run, the ball, the timing, the finish, it was all there.
Is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Former Houston Dynamo, went over to Scotland, a man who scored goals against both Celtic and Rangers for Aberdeen. He is the one and only Christian Ramirez. He joins us now. Christian, thank you very much for coming on. It's nice to catch up with you.
Yeah, nice to catch up with you again.
Yeah, you always have a smiling face. We're doing this via Zoom, and that's the one thing I've always liked about you. All right, real quick here, just a little bit of a debriefing on your time in Scotland and the experience.
No, it was a great learning experience for myself. Learning different culture, obviously a different style of soccer, football, but definitely enjoyed my time there. Learned a lot about myself for sure. Got closer with my family and loved learning and seeing the world for sure. So our daughters really enjoyed that. My wife enjoyed that. And we saw some beautiful places, played in some beautiful stadiums, and soaked it all in.
Scored some beautiful goals. Not many people can say in MLS they scored against Celtic and Rangers. Take me through both the goals.
I think the Rangers was at Ibrox, which was my first time playing there early on. I think it was like 5 or 6 minutes in, and we sort of shocked them, and then had a nice header off of a Ryan Hedges assist, who's now over at Blackburn. And then a couple minutes later, actually, Scott Brown scored against Rangers for us. So we were up 2-0 in that game. So that was a crazy game to be a part of. And then the Celtic one got us right back into the game at Pittodrie. Was a set piece drawn up for myself, drawn up by Alan Russell. Was a cut back and hit it with my left foot, went in on Joe Hart. Thought I tied it a couple minutes later. with another goal, but was called offsides. And then we did end up tying it with a Lewis Ferguson goal, but we came up short that game to a really good Celtic team that was led by Ange, who is now over at Tottenham. So I don't want to mispronounce his last name.
It's Postecoglou or something, but yeah, it's definitely a very Greek name. By the way, not bad scoring against former Manchester City goalkeeper Joe Hart. All right, so let's talk Columbus Crew now. Boy, there's a lot of optimism around this team right now. There's a lot of new additions. Incredibly active transfer window. You got Diego Rossi from Fenerbahce. Julian Gressel's there now. Just talk about this addition of attacking talent here. You know, obviously Lucas Zelarayana's moved on, but does that inspire you a little bit as an attacking player? You know, some of the new possibilities that come with new players.
Yeah, I think it's trying to get everybody on the same page in the middle of the season, building off of the culture that the staff and the front office has built. And guys have bought in very quickly. And you've seen that in the style of play. We're starting to put longer stretches of games together, be more complete. And I think just going back and looking at this weekend against Toronto, we created so many chances and we weren't at our best at finishing them, but we managed to win the game 2-0, which a couple months back, we would have found a way to drop points in that game. So we've shown great growth. Guys like Julian and Diego, Rudy, Sheba, all have came in and brought their own personality to it, and are starting to get into the system and find their moments to show their personalities. But for myself, Cucho, Diego, as attackers, we love the system. We love the freedom that we get to express ourselves. But I think we also show how selfless we are defensively, of how we lead the line and press and use those triggers to really be on the front foot.
Columbus Crew striker Christian Ramirez, you remember him from Houston. Talk about how what your role is. Kind of define your role to us, you know, playing near Cucho.
Yeah, I think I'm a guy who keeps Cucho level-headed. He's such a passionate forward who sometimes at times before would roam out of games because he wasn't getting involved. And I think when we're on the pitch together, he sort of senses that freedom to go find the game at times and be himself, especially now. We know that he's our driving force offensively, and he's given that freedom and that license, and I think he's shown really well. I think he's got 10 assists so far, when nobody really expected. But you see he's able to express his game and show different parts of his game that maybe hasn't been seen or have been strength people call strengths of his, but he's really a good passer of the ball. He presses really well. He's learning more about himself and he's being challenged. But for myself, I'm just being a veteran leader on here, scoring goals. And when I'm not scoring goals, I'm doing other little things, assisting or leading the front line in the press, sacrificing myself defensively to help guys and leading by example. And I think guys have come to see that of me, and it trickles down when guys like myself, Darlington, Rudy, Steven, Kevin, Julian now, Evan Bush, lead in that way. The young guys sort of follow. So it's been a good adaptation for myself.
Christian Ramirez, Columbus Crew. You know him from the Houston Dynamo. He scored goals here in Houston. They are in action tomorrow night, right here on ESPN 97.5. We'll have the call of this. We really appreciate Christian coming on. You know, coming back from Scotland, if there was one takeaway that you added to your game from Scotland, what would that be?
I think the mental side. I really grew mentally in my time. The first, I would say, 8-9 months was fantastic. And then went through a bit of the club was going through a bit of a change, and both in managers and a lot of moving pieces, a lot of people going in and out, and didn't wasn't a part of the plans for the next 6 months. So for me, for 6 months was really trying to get stronger mentally, be ready for when my name was called, and that became a challenge. But I became better for it, and I think I've shown that now. I'm reaping the benefits of that.
Do people miss that, Christian? The fact that, you know, you could be secured a starting spot, you're playing well, all of a sudden a new manager comes in, there's new ideas, and now all of a sudden you don't fit his plan. I mean, I think people sometimes forget that a managerial change can lead to a lot of different things for players.
Yeah, no, it's a side of the game that is relevant, but you just, what I learned is just control what you can control, and everything will take care of itself, and just stayed ready for when my name was called, and I think I handled myself in a very professional way, and when it's all said and done, I loved my time there, I loved the club, still speak to so many of those guys, and that's what you take from this game. Had a great connection with the city for 99% of it. There's always going to be 1% that maybe doesn't agree with everything. So I'm grateful for that. My family is. And I still watch, and I'm wishing them well this Thursday in the second leg of their Europa League qualifier. So hopefully they make it through.
Healthy pressure. How much more pressure was there in Scotland in comparison to Major League Soccer, if any?
No, I think there's obviously differences, it was good to see that side of it. I'm definitely enjoying being back, and I'm living in the present.
Examine the Houston Dynamo since you left. There's been a whole lot of change here, both on the competitive side, the roster. From your viewpoint, having been here, what does it look like to you?
Lots of changes, like you said, top to bottom. The heart and soul of that team is Hector Herrera. Ben Olsen's really driving them passionately with how he coaches. Alex Calder has them physically ready. It's a great team, really dynamic. They have their way of playing, and they use the home field to their advantage for sure, especially with the weather, something that I think we didn't use during my time very well. So, yeah, we're ready for that challenge and excited to come back and see some old faces, the very few that are left. But, it's going to be a tough challenge, and we're excited for it.
Your road performances this year, maybe give us a little synopsis of them in your mind.
Moments of growth and moments that haven't led to full points, given up late goals, and something that we've worked on over this Leagues Cup break. Hopefully we continue to show those growths.
Wilfried Nancy, take us into him a little bit. Interesting coach, has obviously got you guys clicking.
Passionate. A player's coach gives you the freedom, gives you the structure, puts you in positions to be successful, and gives you a lot of trust. He's someone who I really enjoyed playing for. I've learned a lot and seen the game a little bit different of how he tactically changes and adapts throughout the game. He's really, really tactically aware and of what teams are doing, and puts you in a position to be really successful, and it's all you can ask as a player.
Last one before we let you go. We're talking to Christian Ramirez, striker for the Columbus Crew, former Houston Dynamo, played over in the Scottish Premier League as well, scoring goals against Celtic and Rangers. Christian, knowing both sides of it in the Houston weather, not that it isn't hot in other parts of the country, but how much does it alter your tactics coming into this environment, if at all, as the Columbus Crew? You know, because, look, you know, we talk about the pressing game and all. It's not humanly possible to do it for 90 minutes in this type of climate.
You just have to be really good on the day. Mentally, you're going to hit a wall at some point. your legs feel like they're running in sand at times. And those are the moments where you have to be mentally strong to make the right decision, keep the ball at the right times and take care of it, and control the tempo of the game. Because if it turns into an open game, I think Houston uses that as their advantage for sure. And teams sort of drown in that heat. So you have to limit those moments and be really good on the ball on the day.
Christian, thank you very much. I know you got to get going. Appreciate it. We really appreciate it.
You.
It's wonderful catching up with you,
yeah,
seeing your definitely. Smile. Congratulations on the boy that's going to be adding to your family. And
thank
as
you.
Always, I appreciate your time very much.
Thank you. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
All right. You got it. That's all Christian right. Ramirez, Columbus Crew striker, brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We've got more Soccer Matters.
Not just yet. Before we go to break, that was, of course, Glenn's interview with Christian Ramirez. And if you want to catch that or anything else on the show today for Soccer Matters, make sure you check out the podcast page. But before we go to break, more of Glenn's interview with Dynamo defender Brad Smith.
Back position, and, you know, we need Brad Smith to come through this injury. He's naturally left-footed. I looked at the last game at RSL, and I saw more width simply because the natural left foot of Brad Smith and then the natural right foot of Aliyu. And it seemed like you guys widened the game out a little bit, which created some space against Real Salt Lake. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, for sure. That's kind of what we were going for with the game and, you know, starting to get back to form. I think I'll, you know, be able to come in and help the team a bit more, and that's my natural position. That's what they brought me in to kind of do. And you see, you know, it's different. You have Nelson out there, he's right-footed, or, you know, I'm out there with my left. And you can see with the first goal with Corey, we had a good understanding of, you know, once I'm able to overlap and get the ball. We spoke about it before, and it was actually cool that it came to fruition that I wanted him to be there. And you see his run, he goes near post, and then he goes far post, and he gets the goal. And I think that's what has the ability to be able to, you know, have a left-footed up player out there opposed to a right-footer where, you know, Nelson comes in and shoots and stuff like that, but having a left-footer to be able to cross the ball and be on the defense definitely helps. And that's my game. That's what they brought me in to do. So, yeah, trying my best and help the team up.
Yeah, it was a great cross to Corey Baird. He kind of feigned the run in front of the defender and then pulled off behind him. And then you hit in a perfect ball to him that he gets the tap in. It's a goal and an assist for Brad Smith coming off injury. 9 appearances, had that assist against RSL, had the goal against Portland. So it's been a good couple of games for Brad Smith here, getting on the score sheet, setting people up. You know, when you play with an inverted winger like Nelson Quiñones, how does your role as a left back change?
I think you're able to exploit that space even more on the outside because they're so afraid of him going on the inside on his strong foot that they're worried about, you know, going around him on the left side. So they kind of don't really have an answer for it. And especially with, you know, RSL, their winger Severino, he was just cheating the whole time. So it was basically, if I was able to put the work in to come back, I was going to be able to get past him on the offensive side. So as long as I was willing to run back after the play, then we were fine. Right. So it definitely helps, you know, having a winger that runs inside to be able to overlap for sure.
Do you get as many transitional moments, or is it more coming late than when you have an inverted winger? In other words, you know, it is a narrower game. It is designed for you to get forward, but is a lot of the times you get forward maybe a little bit from a later perspective as everybody kind of funnels inside and opens that space up for you?
Yeah, for sure. Because at the, you know, coming in later is more, it's more just a pure effort of a run. You know, if you want to beat your winger to chase you back, then that's just pure heart and effort. So it's better to come late, you know, and then to be up there in the first place. That's more of like link play, but, you know, the late run is definitely more effective for me personally as well.
Dynamo defender Brad Smith. All right. So you told me about, well, you used the word lonely a little bit earlier in this interview, but I think the outside back position, guys playing in these wide areas, I just think it's an incredibly difficult job. Number one, you got to be peak fitness. Number two, a lot of times you're isolated out there and it's basically you looking at another guy in a lot of instances during games. I know there's a lot of overloads and everything now, but how much of a mental game is it? And just saying, you know, that I'm not going to be worn down by you. because you do come against guys that are equally athletic as you.
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely first and foremost, it's a fitness thing. It's probably the fullback or wingback is probably the hardest position. I think I'm a bit biased, but I think it's physically the hardest, you know, to be up the field and then back to defend. And like you said, against like the best players in the league, kind of out on the wing as well. So it's definitely tricky, and different opponents pose different threats. But I think if you're just like want to outwork your opponent more, I think you can get the better of them. And it is lonely out there sometimes, but a lot of the play now, you know, you've got like Amin and Nelson and stuff. They want to like link the play. And I think what we have is a really good core through the midfield, and that helps the fullbacks be able to, you know, if they don't have that overload or overlap run, you can come back and, you know, you can find the midfielders, and then they can switch to the other side. So definitely helps with the team we've got.
Brad, the toughest guy you've ever played out against one-on-one wide?
I mean, it'd probably have to be my debut against Chelsea. Eden Hazard, when he was a peak form. He was scary when he was at Chelsea in the Premier League, and, you know, what a play when he was over there, and I'd have to say him for sure. In this league, probably, nevertheless, probably Carlos Vela. When I was at Seattle, I played him a bunch. We had some good battles, and, you know, I think he was that season that we won MLS Cup. They were incredible, and, I'd say probably Carlos Vela in this league, sure.
Columbus comes in with a good one, and Julian Gressel, very good crosser of the ball. I mean, I'm not a genius here, but I'm thinking you probably want to cut his delivery out as much as possible in this game Wednesday night. Is that fair?
Yeah, for sure. And he's a good mate of mine as well. I played with him at DC for a year. So, you know, it's always better when you come up against your friend, you know. You kind of want to beat them even more when you come up against your friend, because it's like your brother almost that you want to, you know, get the better of. It's that competition is there. So, yeah, but Julian's a great player and a great cross with the ball. So, yeah, we definitely need to close him down, make sure he doesn't get balls in the box.
He's Brad Smith, Houston Dynamo. Dynamo in action against the Columbus Crew this coming Wednesday. All right, September 27th, the Dynamo and the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup final against Inter Miami and Lionel Messi. And I know the league is more than Lionel Messi, but there certainly is an amazing spotlight on him and what he's doing for everybody involved. I'm sitting here thinking Brad Smith wants to be in the team that day on September 27th against Messi.
Yeah, for sure. Like you said, he's not only doing things for Miami, he's doing things for the league, and he's the greatest player to ever play the game. And, you know, we get to face up against him. We just need to make sure that, you know, he's not like the spotlight of what's going on. We need to make sure we play our game. And I fully think we're able to win this final. We close him down, we play the way we want to play, and I think we have a great chance to go out there and do something special with this club. And it'd be great to, you know, have something like that for the club and for the fans to bring back. And I think we can go out there and get it done.
You know, what's the thought process in the locker room? You guys talk a lot about your league and are concerned about your league and happy about your league and where it's going. And you have a vested interest. This is your career. How much talk is about Messi? How much has it lifted? Maybe even the fact that you haven't played Inter Miami, how much has it lifted everything that's going on in a Houston Dynamo locker room, maybe?
Yeah, it's crazy. I think it's more than just in here. It's everywhere. Like, we speak to people on the road, you know, in elevators and stuff. And there's an example from RSL. This guy didn't know anything about soccer or anything. And he didn't know who we were playing or who we played for or anything. But he mentioned that his team, Nashville or something, played Messi the other day, and it's just, you know, to see stuff like that is crazy, where they don't know anything about soccer, but they know that the greatest player in the world is here. And I think just for that, is it's got everyone talking, and, you know, it's a cool thing for the league. And as I said before, the league's growing, and it's a great thing for the league to continue growing and have players like that.
Yeah, were you pretty, you know, you guys are privy to a lot of information, it kind of flows, and when you heard this was going to be reality, I mean, do you just kind of pinch yourself and just go, you know, like the most noted athlete in the world is about to drop in our league, and there's all these other things that we don't even know that's going to occur. Like all of a sudden now, look, more people know about the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup simply because Lionel Messi's in it and got his team to the final.
Yeah. You know, there was rumors about him coming for so long, and as players, we're always talking about it, and I don't think any of us actually thought it was going to happen until, you know, they kind of moved on with the talks and stuff, and then even more people started talking about it. It's, like I said before, it's just great. It's great to have him here. It's great for the league, and it's great to, for, you know, for the Open Cup to be more out there, and just all the competitions in general, Leagues Cup. It's just, it's a great thing.
Brad, do you know some of the great Australian bands like Men at Work or Midnight Oil? Do you know them?
I love Men at Work. I love Men at Work, especially the Down Under song. It's a classic. It's on my playlist for the game day, and gets played a lot in my household for sure. I've got to teach my my English sons the, you know, the Aussie way and stuff like that, so it gets down and gets played at our house.
I like the fact that you listen to the classics, because that song, by the way, came out when I was in college. That first album they did was unbelievable. Song to song, every single, well, do we even call it an album anymore? What do we call it?
I don't even know anymore.
I think musicians still call it albums, even though they're not albums. But did you ever hear a Midnight Oil? Remember the guy, the singer for that band? He was this big, tall guy.
I know the name of the band. I'm just not quite familiar with the song.
Beds Are Burning was their hit song.
Okay.
In fact, since we're pre-taping this, I'm going to play probably Beds Are Burning at the beginning and then Men at Work on the way out for you. All right?
I love that.
All right. Brad, listen, thank you for your time. A real pleasure getting to talk with you today, and I know my listeners will enjoy it. Best of luck against Columbus, and keep making that comeback. Thank you for coming on tonight.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having us, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. That's Brad Smith. 23 caps, Australia, debuted with Liverpool, Houston Dynamo outside back. You might have learned something about him tonight, and keep an eye on him. The fantastic goal against Portland, had the setup to Corey Baird against RSL. We'll take a break. We got more to come at Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Bye.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 as we roll on here tonight. As you know, we've had musicians on the show in the past many times, including some of the great bluesmen, and of course, we've got another one here tonight, and we're really excited for this. This interview brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. And by the way, before doing a music interview, I must mention Cactus Music here in Houston. He is Eric Johansson. He's got a new album out called The Deep and Dirty. Full disclosure, I saw the concert over at Heights Theater. Unbelievable. He was over there with Jesse Dayton and Samantha Fish, and Eric joins us now. Eric, thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, glad to be here, man.
All right, first thing is, sports connection. What do you have? Because this is a soccer show. It is a sports show. Where's your connection to sports? Could be anything.
You know, to me, honestly, I grew up with a, you know, single mom and a sister, and they weren't big sports fans, and I wasn't exposed to it a lot. You know, I guess, you know, honestly, the, you know, obviously the Saints is big in Louisiana, and everybody kind of joins in on that, whether or not you're a huge football fan, just because it's something, you know, that ties everybody together in the city. So, you know, but outside of, you know, I enjoy watching a basketball game or something, you know, but I'm honestly, I don't follow things too much. You know, I've kind of grew up like music was my whole thing, and, you know, never really got into much. Yeah.
Preparing for this interview, I can tell why you didn't get into sports, because somebody apparently put a guitar in your hands at 5 years of age. Tell me about
that. Yeah. You know, I just always wanted to play. I mean, I saw people playing, and, you know, I was just like, as I think I was playing an air guitar, you know, standing on the couch, pretending it was a stage before I ever had a guitar. And my grandfather actually owned a music shop in Louisiana, and they were able to get me, you know, like a first guitar at five. And of course I didn't really know what to do with it, but, I think I played Twinkle Twinkle Little Star on it for a couple of years, and that was like the only thing I could do. But just being around other musicians and stuff, I started to, you know, pick up things from them. I never really had formal instruction, but, you know, just kind of being around other musicians and watching, listening.
You know. He's Eric Johansson, ericjohansson.com. Correct me if any of this information is wrong, Eric. Johansson 504 on Twitter. I suggest you follow him. I suggest you listen to the album, The Deep and Dirty. It is a badass album. I love it. I was telling Eric before we got on, I put it on in the morning to get me going with coffee. It's a great combination. But he is an amazing guitar player. All right. So, you know, I watched you very closely at the Height Show because it's such a great and intimate environment. When you get on a stage like that there, and do you think of who's played on that stage before you? Because, like, literally the greats have been in that building and on that stage. And I'm sure it's like other venues that you play. But are you conscious of that type of thing, or are you just so focused on your own show?
I mean, I might find myself thinking about that if there's pictures on the wall or something, and you go, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. You know, it you do reflect on it sometimes, just because sometimes when you're focused on all the things you've got to do leading up to a show, it's easy to kind of, sometimes you can forget that view of it that you had as a kid, where, you know, you realize, wow, actually this is where the magic happens. Like, this is, you know, I'm seeing a different side of it now because I'm actually doing it. But this, you know, and I think it's always important to remember that perspective, the audience's perspective, you know, because it doesn't matter how many miles you've traveled or whatever, you know, somebody's really excited for this show, and you feed off of that excitement. Once I get out there, I try to not think that much, to be honest. I've been fairly in the moment and just, you know, kind of taking a ride with the music. But, you know, for sure, you reflect on things like that. And it's very cool to be playing stages that were played by people that I, you know, grew up listening to. And, you know, yeah, it's a cool feeling.
He's Eric Johansson. He's joining us here on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. I look at the acoustic guitar and I look at the electric, and I know you play both beautifully. Does playing one sharpen the skills of playing the other, or is it simply the exact same thing?
No, definitely. You know, playing acoustic, they're a little bit of a different skill set, just insofar as when you're playing the acoustic, you've got no like extra sustain or help or anything. And the strings are harder to play. Usually they're set up in a way that most people strum chords. If you try to start to play lead on acoustic, which I do frequently, if I do an acoustic show, it's a battle, but then you get back on the electric and it feels so much easier. At the same time, the electric, you know, you've got like feedback and all these different things that you can play with the interaction of the amp and the guitar. You know, where you can hold a note and maybe it catches some resonance with the amp, and then you can sustain that for a while, which that's a whole different beast than, you know, the acoustic. So I definitely think it helps to do both, because, you know, you can definitely hear all of your little imperfections on an acoustic guitar, and it definitely strengthens your fingers, if nothing else.
Isn't imperfection, though, what rock and roll's kind of about?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think I definitely, you know, there's a lot of improvisation in what I do. Yeah. So, you know, there's never really, you can't play it too safe, you know, and there have been, you know, patches in my life where maybe I started feeling like, man, maybe I'm, you know, I'm going out there and I'm kind of approaching these solos in the same way or something. And, you know, I really have to encourage myself to take risks with the things, because one night maybe you think, okay, well, maybe that didn't, you know, maybe rise to the same height as the previous night, but then there will be another night where it just becomes a whole new thing and it lifts to some new place because you're willing to take the risk of doing something that maybe works or doesn't work or whatever. But you go for the ride and you kind of let go of your, you know, you get yourself out of the way, and you just kind of let the music take you somewhere. So yeah, there's, you know, it's hard to define what would be an imperfection, you know, in there, because, you know, it's kind of it's a live painting, as I kind of tend to look at it as.
Well, this layman who watched you in the Heights didn't see any imperfections, that's for sure. I mean, man, your guitar playing is clean. It's an amazing sound you put out. We're talking to Eric Johansson, ericjohansson.com. Check out his tour. I highly recommend you go see him live at Eric Johansson 504. So you talked about kind of feedback and reverb and a little of that. I love that stuff. Your song "Don't Hold Back," which starts off the album on side A, and the album again, I'm going to mention it, is "The Deep and Dirty." You got some of that Hendrix kind of. That's what I thought. I mean, is that a fair thing to say?
Sure. I mean, you know, the fuzzy sounds. You know, I
love that.
I think it's the first album I've really used some of those kind of more fuzzy, you know, Velcro ripping type of sounds, you know, and but it's cool. I mean, it's such a it reacts with those types of sounds, you know, you get different reactions out of what you're playing, and it makes you play different things. But yeah, I mean, Hendrix, you know, I think he's who most of us think of first when we think about those kind of wild, fuzzy solos, you know.
Yeah, talking to Eric Johansson. So I saw a video the other day, and maybe you can help me with this. So it's the Rolling Stones, and they point out in the video that Charlie Watts decides to up, I don't know, is it the tempo or the rhythm, but he's drumming faster in layman's terms. And basically you see Jagger and Richards kind of make eye contact, and they kind of smile like, our drummer's pushing us here. Is that something that happens?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I usually always perform as a power trio, which is just guitar, bass, and drums. And, you know, so we're all at the front, you know, there's nobody's laying behind anybody else, because, you know, you've all got your own element that you're bringing to the music. And for sure, there's definitely a liftoff that you can achieve, you know, when you're jamming on some of these songs. And you know, whether it's actually getting faster or it's just getting more intense sometimes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes maybe a little bit of both, but there's an element to that, which is why I never could really get into performing with a computer or anything on stage. You know, certain pop acts, it works for them to have a computer going and there's backing tracks on it or whatever. But I've seen bands that try to incorporate that type of stuff, and I think that the difficulty with it is that you can't have that sort of organic liftoff where you're getting more intense, and maybe it is getting a little bit faster, but it feels right at the time, because, you know, you're stuck to some device or, you know, some click track or something. So I think that, you know, for me, that keeping it human and being able to feel, you know, that you need to bump it up a couple notches is a big part of, you know, what I like to do.
So when I saw that video, you could tell that Jagger and Richards kind of liked this challenge that was coming.
Yeah.
Those "I Can't Get No Satisfaction" was a speeded up version, and it was cool. And it was just organic. But does that ever happen, like with your drummer? Like, does your drummer ever on purpose push you a little bit? Because we all think the lead guy out there controls everything, and you probably do. But can the drummer ever push you into upping tempo and rhythm?
For sure. I mean, sometimes we'll, you know, maybe.
I mean, in a contrived manner. I know it happens organically, but I mean, on purpose, would he maybe do that to just lighten the night up or something?
Yeah, potentially. I mean, you know, sometimes I'll be playing, you know, maybe some phrase or something I'll come upon in a solo, like, you know, da 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 da, or some phrase, you know, and maybe he'll start playing that, and then he might add in another accent, da 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 da, you know, like whatever, you know, and then all of a sudden that makes me play that faster, you know, version of the phrase or whatever. And so you can have this thing where you are sort of pushing the, you know, back and forth. And yeah, sure, that can happen from the drums, for sure. And, you know, and there's also just there's songs that start with the drums. So wherever he's feeling it should be, it's not going to be exactly the same place every night. You know, it's going to be, if he feels it, because maybe the energy from the crowd, it just feels like, you know, you might be a few beats per minute higher. And you just go with that. And I think, you have to kind of allow, because, you know, you're feeling it in your body and, you know, the crowd, the room, everything. So you have to really just feel what feels right at that particular time.
And to watch, you know, I asked Jesse Dayton the same question about being a player and then you know, running the show and the set list and singing as well. I mean, I just have to think singing, guitar playing, it's got to be incredibly difficult to do. And obviously not everybody can do it because we see great guitar players that don't do a lot of singing.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely, you know, there's some riffs that I have in songs where it you know, I had to, when I came up with the song, I had to see, well, can I actually get comfortable with playing this riff and singing it at the same time? A lot of the time, once you get it worked out, there's a fair amount of, I guess, muscle memory. You know, I don't feel like I'm trying to hold anything together when I'm performing the stuff. I feel like I'm thinking about what the song's about and experiencing the song myself. So thankfully, you know, somehow, I'm, and I, you know, the same with every other singer and player, I guess. But I'm able to, internalize a lot of that stuff and kind of get it worked out. But there are definitely songs where at first I'm like, you know, did I paint myself in a corner here with this kind of syncopation between what I'm playing and what I'm supposed to be singing here? But, you know, usually once you practice it a bit, you know, you kind of get past that point and then you're able to just have fun with the song.
All right. So that was part one of a 30-minute interview with Eric Johansson. Part two will be up on the podcast. You can get the podcast, by the way, at Spotify, Google, Apple. You can also get it here at ESPN975.com. Really, really fun to interview him. And of course, he's going to be in Houston September 8th at the Continental Club. If you want to see good guitar playing, be there. I will be there for that. I can guarantee you that. It is great stuff from him. Okay, to wrap things up here, first, a big thank you to Brian McDonald, who is behind the glass getting us ready. By the way, tomorrow night we'll have the Dynamo against the Columbus Crew. 7 o'clock is our pregame show right here on ESPN 97.5. You don't want to miss it. That is a huge game. Playoff implications type game. The Dynamo need the 3 points at home against the Columbus Crew and Cucho, Christian Ramirez, and Diego Rossi, and guys like Julian Gressel that have been acquired. It's a different-looking Columbus Crew now, and they are on a roll here. Also, LamontBrands.com, that's where you get the Soccer Matters hats and T-shirts to benefit the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation. Again, thank you for tuning in tonight. Hit me up on Twitter and Instagram. I want to hear from you, at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD, and for everybody behind us, including Guillermo Lazo Romero and those that tuned in, thank you. And remember, until next week, soccer matters.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, home of the Norwegian Blue.
Remarkable bird, the Norwegian Blue, isn't it? Beautiful plumage.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.